This episode of WDW Today is being sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And, you know, some winter weather might be affecting you, perhaps, but the good news is the rest of the year it'll be warmer. And the good news about that is, you know where it's always warm? Disney World. And you know what's great about Disney World? It's fun. And MEI and Master Travel is here to help you get back down to Walt Disney World. After all, we all love it so much. Remember all the favorite attractions, all those great memories? Ah, yes. It's coming back to me now. All the drinks and my favorite restaurants. And, oh, yes, riding on that favorite ride with those favorite people that I sort of know. And, oh, what great memories. And you know what? If you want to make more great memories of Walt Disney World, well, MEI and Mouse Fan Travel is here to help you plan that trip. Actually, there's some great deals going on if you want to get back down to Disney World. And they're here to help you not just get a good deal today, but every day between now and when your trip goes. Prices change all the time. They'll make sure you get the best possible deal, save you the most money, so that way you can spend it at Disney World. That's right. Check them out right now at mousefantravel.com. Also sponsoring today's episode is All Star Vacation Homes. And boy, howdy, do I love me an All Star Vacation Home. I mean, when I'm saying an All Star Vacation Home, I'll tell you, it's like a vacation in and of itself when I'm not even in Disney World. I mean, it's relaxing, obviously, but there's so many great amenities, so much space, and it just gives you so much. I mean, really, the value for an All-Star Vacation Home is unparalleled, frankly. And what everything you get, remember, it's not just a place to stay. It's a pool. It's a movie room. It's a game room. It's a full-size kitchen. It's different bedrooms for different people. That's right. You could all have to scram into one room, and the guy who snores, maybe it's you, doesn't have to be the problem. You can all be able to sleep better, have separate bathrooms, and if you got kids, that makes a big difference, right? Check them out right now at allstarvacationhomes.com. And lastly, we're also sponsored by touringplans.com. And, you know, if you want to be the hero of your family, if you want to be the person who's going to say, hey, family, we're going to go to Walt Disney World, and you know what? We're not going to wait in line. What? That's right, dad, or brother, or uncle, or cousin, or sister.
That's right, brother.
Brother. You see, the equivalent of 24-inch pythons of planning resources is touringplans.com. They've got tools and resources you need to see everything and do everything without waiting for everything. It's really that easy. And we've got a special discount code just for our podcast listeners. If you use discount code ZUZU2015, ZUZU2015, you will save a bundle on a touringplans.com subscription. Check them out right now, touringplans.com.
Bringing the world to your world, this is Walt Disney World Today. Here are Mike Scopa, Len Testa, Mike Newell, and your host, Matt Hochberg.
It's Wednesday, January 28th, 2014, and this episode, 1445 of WDW Today. I'm a sick Matt Hochberg, sick in the, not the usual way, just, you know, medically sick, of StudioCentral.com and RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com. Joining me on today's show, Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio Show. Mike.
Hey, Matt. How you doing? I'm under all the snow, so you may not be able to hear me too clear.
Oh, I thought you had a mask on because I was sick.
Oh, that too.
Yeah, because we have to make people – remember, we record the show live every day it comes out and in together.
That's right. We're all in the same room. So you have the snow too.
Yes, exactly. Yes. It's up to here with the snow.
I've had it.
It's funny. Speaking of snow, so I think many of our podcast listeners know, what was it, 2-3 years ago, Mike, the plow truck hit your car?
Oh, yeah.
So this plow truck in our neighborhood was plowing, and he plowed the snow, and he knocked over a light pole. So my wife was telling me about it, and I'm like, oh, it's probably the same guy who hit Newell.
I got almost totaled with that car because it was so much.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was a New York City sanitation truck that didn't see the top of
my car. What car got totaled?
It was a Jeep Cherokee. I don't know how you miss a Jeep Cherokee in snow, but there it was. And that car is no longer with me.
There it wasn't.
No.
Well, rest in peace, little buddy.
Yes, good car.
Also joining us on today's show, Len Testa, co-author, adventure guide to Walt Disney World, and he's also the host of the Disney Dish with Chip Hill podcast. Welcome to the show, Len.
How's it going, Matt?
Outstanding. Len, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Some of our listeners know you and I are going on a Royal Caribbean cruise in March, And, you know, Len, we like to have a good time, and perhaps I will buy you a beverage to celebrate. But my question for you is, will you drink Cabo Wabo?
Yeah, it's a good tequila. What?
You don't mind supporting one Sammy Hagar who tried to take away your love?
Look, I mean, it's like children. You might have a favorite child, but you love them all.
That's funny. All right, cool. I didn't know where the line in the sand was on that.
Yeah, I don't know. The other day I was listening to what was that? It was a Sammy era Van Halen song.
Can't Drive 55.
Best of Both Worlds. No, not Best of Both Worlds.
55 is a solo song.
Yeah, no, it was. It was Best of Both Worlds. And I'm like, we were actually pulling the car into the driveway. And I'm like, you know, it's kind of sad that this song is never going to be performed live again by this band.
Yeah, it's like a never. Dead song. Does he play it, Sammy?
He's retired now.
He's retired.
Remember after he got bought out by the tequila?
Is he retired?
He tours, but he doesn't.
Yeah, is he like Garth Brooks retired?
No. He's made like $800 million from his liquor business, from tequila and stuff like that. So I think he's done. He said he's not putting out any more albums and he's not touring.
He doesn't have to.
He's not going
to
do like a year long touring thing. So
I don't see how he's not your hero. The man used to play in Van Halen and now made millions off tequila. Like, isn't that like your dream?
It's the best of both worlds, Len. Just like the song says.
They should be an icon. It should be my spirit animal. I mean, what are we talking about, right?
Van Halen and tequila.
Yeah, I know. And also Miley Cyrus song.
Well, we're answering your listener questions, as always, on Wednesdays. And we're going to start with an email from one of Mike Newell's good friends, my good friend, your good friend, Bruce from Brooklyn.
Bruce.
Submitted for your humorous pleasure. I received an email from Disney talking about renovation that the Polynesian is going through. They're talking about DVC bungalows. And I quote, similar to Disney Cruise Line ships and the villas at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa, the rooms will each have a bathroom separated into two areas, one with a shower and sink, and the other with a sink and tub shower.
Split bath, yeah.
I hope they forgot to mention the email, but not in the building of the bungalows. What?
Huh?
What?
I hope they forgot to mention it in the email, but not in the building of the bungalows. As in, like, the bathrooms are separated?
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means. Bruce, swing and a miss, buddy. Try again next time.
Was that a joke?
Was that a joke. He said, submitted for your humorous pleasure.
Oh, wait. Read it again?
I already deleted it.
It's gone.
I'm sorry, Bruce. We tried, but we like you. We'll read your... Oh, here. I'll read it again. I got it back. Similar to Disney Cruise Line ships and the villas at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa, the rooms will each have a bathroom separated into two areas, one with a shower and sink, and the other with a sink and tub shower. And then he wrote, I hope they forgot to mention it in the email, but not in the building of the bungalows.
Yeah, the second reading didn't help.
Nope. Sorry, Bruce.
I guess he had to be there. He had to say it.
There's like a word missing in that, and that would make it funnier. And I don't know what the word is, but we'll see.
Yeah. He'll send us an email and be like, I hate you guys.
Join the club, Bruce.
Next, we have an email from Jeff Meitzler of West Deptford, New Jersey. Hopefully Len is here and sober for this alcohol question I've recently got. Len, how are you doing?
Yep, ready.
All right. I have recently got into drinking Grand Marnier. What specific places in Epcot serve it, and what drinks do they serve it in?
I think the go-to Grand Marnier drink is the Grand Marnier slush outside the France Pavilion in Epcot, right?
Yeah, it's the one that's by like that square, right? There's that like that circular thing with all the pillar with all like the fake billboards. That one.
It's across from that. So it's on the lagoon side.
Oh, next to the
where it's the champagne stand. So
yes.
Yeah, champagnes and vins or whatever. So champagnes and wines. Yeah,
I believe it's in the Champagne District.
It is the Champagne District of. Yeah. Anyway, it's there. The Grand Marnier slush. It's supposed to be like. Imagine the orange flavored slushy with alcohol. Woo!
Len, would you say if that you're standing in UK and looking at France, you know, in order to get an idea, so our listeners can understand where this is, would you say that it's on the west side of France?
Let's see. That would be the
no. Don't encourage.
Eiffel Tower's north.
Yeah, it'd be east, wouldn't it? is the Eiffel Tower north? No, it's not. Spaceship Earth is north, isn't it?
Yeah, especially yeah, right, because the maps are always look backwards.
Yeah, the maps are, yeah, so it'd be East Side!
East Side!
Help me.
Help me. I'm trapped in a podcast.
Nice. Oh, and the other thing is, Jeff also asked, also, are there any Grand Marnier drinks you guys enjoy? Any other ones?
I don't like orange-flavored things. Also, kittens, unicorns, and rainbows, not on my list of...
Or Broadway shows, evidently.
Broadway shows, yeah.
We learned on the live show earlier this...
you know, I bet you would make a... I bet you it would make a decent tequila sunrise, though, if you go over to Mexico.
Okay, so...
Yeah. I could be wrong here. You know, we should ask Laurel, because she's a better mixologist than I.
She's a booze hound, is that what you're going to say?
No, she's a better mixologist than I am.
Yeah, that's the word, too. Yeah, no, the Grand Marnier slush is really like the pièce de résistance. And evidently now they have a supersized Grand Marnier orange and Grey Goose slush. What? Because it's America line, right? Everything is bigger.
I think of this. It's like the 64-ounce big gulp of booze.
7-Eleven. I've heard that former New York mayor Bloomberg is opposed to these.
the 64-ounce Grand Marnier slush.
That's just too much Grand Marnier.
Can you imagine? You're carrying like it's like the size of like a pony keg with a handle on it, and you got a straw sticking out of it. You're walking around Epcot with it. You should totally do that.
That's funny. I also apologize in advance for all my coughing and wheezing. Next email is from Andy from Maple Grove, Minnesota. We haven't been to the World since the spring of 2009. We're looking to possibly go for December. But my question is, why did some of the thrills never get the publicity like Expedition Everest in 2006 or the more recent Seven Dwarfs Mine Train in 2014? My best guess is because it got shoved into Interventions and was quickly forgotten about. Here's what I don't understand, though, if it's a worthy e-ticket ride, and why not give it its proper recognition?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things. This is Some of All Thrills, right?
Some of All Thrills, that's right.
Yeah, it's got really low capacity, so they can't promote it the way that they do like Test Track or Storm because it just can't handle that many people. I mean, the wait times are absurdly inflated on it. I think that they can handle a couple hundred people an hour at Some of All Thrills. If everything's going right and none of the simulators break down and everyone gets all their stuff, all their, their planning stuff done in time. But, if you have, let's put it this way. If you ever see a sign that says like 40 or 50 minute wait, at Some of All Thrills, the line would actually be out the door at Interventions and out into the sun. So that tells you that if you don't see a line that long, then it's probably inflated. But it just can't handle the publicity. It's just not. It's an interesting concept idea, but it's never going to be a production ride in its current form.
Yeah, and in its current form, I mean, it's two robot arms. I mean, it's a really cool experience, I think. But at the same time, it's not like a full-fledged like attraction building, right?
No, it's part of an innovation. And again, it's a nice idea, and it was for, part of it was for Disney to say, we have a Kuka arm too, just like Universal does with Forbidden Journey at Harry Potter.
Wasn't it before Forbidden Journey?
I think it was a little bit before Forbidden Journey, but they've got a Kuka arm too.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, I always attributed to just, they needed to fill space. They reached a deal with Raytheon, right?
It's Raytheon and Kuka does the arms, yeah.
Right? And this is the idea. All right, sounds good, cool. I mean, it's a decent investment, but it's not like, I mean, I could never see them advertising an Interventions attraction just because of the nature of Interventions. I mean, it's just not gonna. No one's gonna. You can't put this on huge like advertising budget, and people in like New Jersey who are watching this at home and be like, oh, yeah, just make
them go to run for the airport. Yeah,
yeah. They're like, that's not gonna do it.
No, again, it's conceptual stuff to see if it works. Not a huge amount of money. I think it's a great idea. I think it's a fun ride for what it is. I think the graphics probably need updating now. But yeah, overall not bad.
Yeah, I'm still most impressed by that table thing where you design it.
The giant surface.
Yeah, the surface, and you get to like you put like this piece of plastic that ordinarily you can just pick up and throw in the air. It's literally a piece of plastic. But when you put it on the surface of this essentially a huge tablet. It interacts with the tablet. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's kind of neat.
Yeah. Andy has one more question. One last question. If Some of All Thrills is a design your own roller coaster ride in the parks, how long does Disney Quest have it before it's closed for refurbishment?
How long does Disney have the ride before it's closed for refurbishment? You mean like design your own Space Mountain?
Yeah, I think so.
It's the same idea, right?
Same idea, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but Space Mountain's not quite as advanced.
Let me tell you, Cyberspace Mountain is the Abe Vigoda of Disney World attractions. I mean, you would think, like, it's got to be dead. it's got to be gone. I mean, there's no way it's survived this long. And Linus is still there? Yeah, it's still there.
He was like, Ipecoda was like 90 back in the 70s when he was on Fish. Right?
They still had him.
He was old in the, I almost said The Odd Couple. He was old in The Godfather.
Yeah. And that's what, early 70s, right?
Yeah, 74, I think, or 72.
Yeah.
I only knew him. This is showing my age here. I only knew him from Conan O'Brien. They'd have a bit like every 6 months. Is Abe Vigoda dead or alive? And they would have him, and he would run across the stage. Hey, everybody! And that full bit is still alive.
Speaking of Abe Vigoda, you know he was on Barney Miller, right? Do you remember Ron Glass?
Yeah,
he's on Barney Miller.
He's on that new
he's
show.
He's on everything. He's in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Is that what he's on?
He was in Firefly.
Firefly, right?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Ron Glass. He's a character actor. But if you look at it, I don't know if you looked him up on Wikipedia or IMDb, that dude has spent an entire career. He has had steady employment for 40 years as a character actor.
Yeah, not smart bad. Dude. That's how you make money in this world. You
he's
know?
Like the Paprika of the acting world. He's in everything. You just don't know it.
You're going to kill me.
And speaking of
please, if anyone knows Ron Glass, please tell him I said that and send me an 8x10 glossy autograph. That'd be great.
Speaking of Abe Vigoda, I actually know him. I've been in his home several times.
You've been in Abe Vigoda's home?
Yeah, my line of work.
Stop.
I swear.
I have known you for 10 years, and in 10 years, you're telling me the fact that you know Abe Vigoda and have been in the man's home has never once come up in conversation.
It's not something you bring up in everyday.
I love you, Newell. You are lying through your
teeth. No, it's not. It's the,
do not know.
It's the gods. I can tell you exactly where he lives.
Sorry, let's put it out there.
And I will be disproving this. How, dear Mr. Vigoda?
His phone goes out from time to time, and I go to his house.
And does he know you as, hey, Mike, how's it going? Or are you like?
He calls me kid. Thanks for coming by, kid.
He's older than everyone on earth. He calls everyone kid.
Well, that's what he calls me. He actually walked past our building one day, and we were standing in front. He came up to us. He says, hey, do you guys mind if I use your can? And we let him in.
That I believe. And we let him in. Like, in my head, that's exactly how it would go to sound.
But he's the nicest guy. And one time he almost knocked me over. I was getting on a downtown bus on Lexington Avenue, and he jumped the line and he elbowed me. That's the God's honest truth. I am not making that up.
I would have to knock over a vase in his house or something.
And I had my fists were clenched. I was all ready to go. And I was like, oh my God, it's Abe Vigoda.
Yeah. All right.
Go ahead.
All right. Only because you
respect.
Exactly.
Oh, that's funny.
Did he turn to you and look at you and say, I'm sorry, Mikey, it was only business?
No, he said kid. Did he? Sorry, kid. Yeah,
sorry, kid, it's only business. Look, I always liked it. I always liked it. It's only business. Yeah.
And then he got into the bus and he left, and that was the end. We never saw him again.
All right. I'm not even drinking tonight. Last night on the live show, I was drinking. Now it's a sober one. Anyway.
Next email is from Travis Allen.
we just did 9 minutes on Abe Vigoda.
It's great. Oh, man, that's funny.
Next email from Travis Allen. This question is for Matt. I recently heard you talk about going to Disney World by yourself. What are the pros and cons of going by yourself? As a guy in my late 20s, I think it would be an interesting experience. What, if anything, changed about your normal Disney World routine? Did you eat at table service restaurants by yourself as well? I think it's something we've all done, obviously.
I was just saying, you just talked about going by yourself.
I actually don't remember doing that. But, I've been going for a while. Actually, the best thing I ever did was start going to Disney World by myself. I remember this trip like so vividly. It was 2004. I wanted to go back down there.
You were a lad.
I was a wee lad.
Wee lad.
But I wanted to get back down there, and actually I was in college, and I could not convince anybody to go with me. None of my family liked it all that much. My friends
didn't like you.
You're in college. A fraternity party. You're like, hey, you guys want to go to Disney World? It's not going to fly, all right?
You must have been the big guy over there. Hey, I'm going to Disney World. Let's go.
That's okay. Well, you kept it on the DL, you know. But I went down there. It was like a long weekend. I got down there on Thursday, came back on Sunday. It was one of the best experiences I had. What I love about going by yourself is the ability – you get to do – what you want and when you want. And for me, that was such a liberating experience because, you know, if it sounds like Travis, maybe you're also like, you know, a Disney World nerd like me and Mike and Len. But, you know, what's great about it is you get to like really, you know, indulge, right? You get to do, you know, what you always wanted to do. You don't think all the rides you don't care about. You go do the stuff you've always wanted to try. Things that you heard about, stuff you hear on this podcast, stuff that if you're trying to explain to somebody who doesn't listen to this stuff or know about it, it's like, oh, jeez, it's like pulling teeth. Never mind. We'll just go to the Carousel of Progress and watch that. You know, it's like to me, it was a very liberating experience. I really enjoyed it. So that's definitely something. And dining by myself, absolutely. I booked reservations by myself. And at Disney World, it's really easy to – I think it's a very easy experience. Len, I mean, you've done this many times. Mike, same thing. I mean, yep. You don't have any qualms about booking table service and sitting by yourself, right?
I don't.
No, I don't either. I did at first. It's a little – self-conscious. You know, you think everybody's watching you and looking at you, but after a while.
And plus in today's world of like, I mean, back in the day, you had to sit there and literally you had, you know, you talk to the waiter or whatever. You'd be on your phone the whole time. You know?
Yeah.
You check Twitter, Facebook.
It's fine.
Listen to your favorite podcast. You know, you can do a lot. And that's what's great, I think, about social media these days is you can, if you're into it, you can really share your experience with other people. So even though no one's with you physically, you know, you're posting your photos to your favorite website or Facebook group or wherever on Twitter, Instagram. I mean, you can really make it. People are interacting with your photos, and that can really, I think, that makes it kind of like having other people with you on the trip, and that's really a really fun experience. So I'd absolutely recommend going by yourself. I think it's one of the best things you can. In fact, we've done a lot of episodes about going to Disney World by yourself, and it's something that's, like I said, I think it's wonderful. It's great if you're outgoing. It's great if you're an introvert. It's good for everyone. I think it's fun. So
and it can be fun, and you can meet people when you by yourself. You're in line. Waiting for an attraction, you turn around, say hi to the person behind you, and start up a conversation. It's not that bad.
Absolutely. Cool. Very good. Let's move on to our next email, which is from John Biggis of Orion, Illinois.
Jack.
In episode 1433, the panel speculated about possible movies made from Disney attractions. It'd be interesting to speculate about attractions that might have been made if Disney collaborated with certain Hollywood producers.
Ooh.
It doesn't even got together with Alfred Hitchcock, for example. Oh. Flights of Wonder may have named the bird. Where the audience gains firsthand knowledge of the ornithology food chain. If Disney team Spielberg had created the Boneyard, it might have involved toddlers unearthing dinosaur fossils when they try creating living raptors from. This would have probably gotten even worse than the bird's attraction. Finally, if Disney convinced Henry Ford to sponsor the original Maelstrom ride, we may, as we pass the fjord section, have seen a troll holding up a sign reading, "Everybody loves to drive a fjord."
That's pretty funny.
That's not bad.
That's pretty awesome.
I learned something from Jim Hill the other day when we were doing a show on Disneyland. Did you know at one time there were three different Autopia attractions in Disneyland, like when Disneyland first opened up? Because they needed so many attractions, and that was relatively straightforward to do, and it was relatively popular. Three different Autopia, three different Tomorrowland Speedways.
Wow.
In Disneyland?
Maybe that's like the equivalent of like having, you know, today we have like so many Dumbo rides essentially.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah. Interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that was just like a space filler. So that was like the
idea. Yeah, it was. Yeah. They just needed a ride. So essentially he was trying to put anything in that would work.
So they still have one there now, right?
Yeah, it's in Tomorrowland. Yeah.
I've never been, so I don't know.
Didn't they take like the Speedway and convert it? Or is it an original attraction?
It's an original attraction.
Oh, okay. I thought they just like converted theirs. Like
people. I think it's been greatly cut down, but it's an original attraction.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Next, we have an email from Nick from San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Nick.
I've been listening to the show for a while, and finally have a quick question for you. I'm a huge Disney fan. I grew up in Miami, Florida, and go to Disney World very often. About 10 years ago, I moved to San Antonio and don't go nearly as often. I'm very excited to be going to D23 Expo in the summer. If this will be in California, I will obviously be at Disneyland. I have 2 days to visit the parks before I go to the expo. My question is, should I spend both days at Disneyland or 1 day at Disneyland and 1 day at Disney California Adventure? I have been to both parks once before, but that was a long time ago, way before the renovations at DCA. Thanks for all you do and making my drives to and from work more fun.
I think you definitely want to go to DCA, if for anything else, to see Radiator Springs. So, because I think that's pretty fabulous. But there's enough stuff online. I think we've done a couple of shows on this. We did one with Scopo when he got back from Disneyland, right? What are the differences between the attractions and the common attractions to Walt Disney World and Disneyland?
Right.
I would go back and do that. But you know, things like Pirates of the Caribbean are vastly better in Disneyland, stuff like that. I would go to that. The other thing I would say, you know, if you got some time one afternoon, I like the scale of Downtown Disney in California better than I do in Florida. It's much more manageable. You can walk it end to end. I mean, yeah, it's loud, but it's not as loud as Disney World, and it's crowded, but it's not as crowded as Disney World. And yeah, the food's a little bit more interesting, I think. So yeah, give that a try too. But you can definitely do it all in 2 days.
Now, would you recommend? Oh, so both parks?
I could do both parks in, you know, 1 day each. Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, Nicholas. Excuse me. Next, we have an email from Michelle from Beverly, Massachusetts. I'm wondering about the Wide World of Sports. I want to go to a game in March. Mm. Is it purchase tickets in advance, or can you get day of tickets? The game I'm looking at is the Yankee game. Hey, the Yankees, I'm a Red Sox girl. However, the date they are playing works best for me. Yes, you can, but for Yankee games, this is true of almost all spring training games. The Yankees, the Red Sox, to a lesser degree, the Mets will sell out like everywhere they go, especially when they go to Wide World of Sports because it's in Orlando. There's a lot of transplants.
The Brewers.
The Brewers, that's right. They just can't get enough of that Robin Yount. So I would recommend getting tickets in advance because I really believe they will sell out, especially if it's a weekend game. Forget about it.
Yeah, and if you can, try to get a seat out of the sun. It is brutal.
Yeah, it's tough stadium. Over there, right? The way that the stadium is?
Yep.
Yeah. Get tickets in advance. It's probably the best way to go about it. She writes, currently tickets are $40. Will they increase once the game gets closer? I don't think so, right? They may sell out.
I mean, you can, if you're running late, go on StubHub. StubHub will have good deals on,
tickets are actually on sale now. And, I guess she's looking at, upper level reserved or bleacher.
Is that all that's left?
Yeah, that's maybe what's left. Yeah. Well, yeah, so Yankees, maybe StubHub is your best bet then.
Yeah. Yankees will always sell out fast.
Yep. Also, is alcohol served at Wide World of Sports? Yeah. What do you think the parents do there?
You're really something to do. Daddy needs something to take the edge off.
Yeah. The only place they don't serve alcohol in Walt Disney World is the Magic Kingdom. Not counting beer guests. One last question. My cousin that I'm going with is visually impaired. If I call Disney, would they be able to get us close seats? Or maybe we could go to guest services when we get there?
I don't know. They may.
Possibly. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
They may have handicap accessible seats that you can get.
They do have those. I know though. Like, but that's for like, you know, wheelchair, which is not the case. I mean, I don't think her cousin is physically handicapped in the sense that like he or she needs a wheelchair. It's that, you know, he or she's blind.
But it's a really easy stadium to maneuver. So
they built it a couple of years ago. It's not that old.
Yeah. So it's only two tiers. You go in on the street level and it's just an upper level and the lower level. So it's not like going to Shea what it was or Yankee Stadium. It's not like going to a major league stadium. This is just spring training, so the stadiums are much, much smaller.
Now, Mike, you go for a lot of these spring training games every year. Are you going again this year?
Currently, no. I have.
What?
Yeah, I've got some things at the house that needs fixing. So.
Okay. Well, anyway, in your past experience, I mean, you generally like going around to all these games. You've seen a couple games at Wild World Sports, right?
Oh, yeah. I went with one Glenn Sonoda about a year or so ago.
Oh, the guy from the NetCop video?
The guy from the NetCop podcast.
he's still kicking, Len.
Is he still in Orlando? No.
He's in beautiful Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, I thought he moved to Hawaii.
He did.
Then came back.
Long story. Glenn sent an email. Send an email to Len. Text him, if you will.
Glenn, yeah, just to yeah, catch up. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a pretty good experience over there. And you don't have to have – even if you don't have tickets, you can just show up. I mean, if there are tickets – like, to Len's credit, if the Braves are playing the Brewers, you could probably show up there game of
– Yes, and get front row.
Get front row seats.
I must be in the front row.
Yeah.
Speaking of, it's his birthday today, actually. Who's that guy?
Robin Yount?
Not Glenn.
Robin Yount's birthday?
No, the guy from the old Bud Light commercials. I must be in the front row.
Bob Uecker.
It's his birthday today.
Is he still alive?
Yes,
just a bit outside.
Oh, hold on. If I ask him if he's still alive, then Newell's going to be like, oh, I know him.
I know that guy.
I've been to his house.
Pushed me off a bus one time. I've been to his house. Yeah.
I speak the truth. I am not making this up.
I believe you.
Actually, we should take this opportunity, by the way, if you are interested in sending us questions, you can email us questions at wdwtoday.com. That way, I know some of you fast forward at the end. Boo! Yeah. You missed out on that memo, but yeah, we're taking questions. Email us questions at wdwtoday.com. Next, we have an email from Jacqueline from Maine. During our upcoming trip to Disney World, we want to spend a day at Universal to see Harry Potter. We don't have a car and plan on staying at Port Orleans French Quarter. What are my transportation options?
Mears has a shuttle that I think $16 a person round trip. That's probably going to be your cheapest option. Unless you've got like, it depends. I guess you could do a taxi cab estimator for Mears, but I'm thinking it's going to be more than that. So I think the shuttle is going to be your cheapest option. By the way, do you guys see the news, the city of Orlando is forcing Uber and Lyft to charge the same prices as taxis for their fares?
Really?
Isn't that called collusion?
Yeah, you're right. You're like, wait. you can't. You're enforcing a monopoly. What are you?
Price control.
Oligopoly. Yeah. What are you doing here? But I guess it's so they keep the price of taxi medallions and licenses high in Orlando. Because before that, it was Uber had dropped the prices and Lyft had dropped them too, to where they were like just a little bit more than half the cost of a taxi to get around to get around anywhere. They already updated the unofficial guide with that information. Then they passed a law saying February 1st that they have to charge the same amounts as taxis. So. Anyway, yeah, but I think the Mears shuttle is going to be your cheapest option.
Okay. Next, we have an email from Sean from Virginia. I have a question for your expert minds. Through some miracle, I snagged FastPass Plus for my daughter to meet Elsa and Anna on our last half day in the Magic Kingdom right before we leave for the airport. Can you share advice on timing, like what arriving before the slot? Any tips for making the most efficient exit to the airport? Am I setting us up for a dangerous, disastrous last day?
How close is this? Okay.
Here's the situation. 11:50 to 12:50 is the Fast Pass Plus to meet Anna Nelson, Princess Fairytale Hall. Got delayed to catch a 3:40 flight from Orlando. I think if we're on the road by 1:30, we'll be fine, and we need to pick up our bags from the Polynesian.
Man. Okay, so to get to from the Polynesian...
Wait, first so of
it's
all...
It's a 12:45 Fast Pass.
11:50 to 12:50.
Oh, here, and what time they told... No, they're fine.
3:40 flight.
Yeah, no problem. No problem at all.
I would say, first of all, I don't know why you're leaving your bags at the Polynesian. It sounds like you have a car. And if you have a car, put your stuff in the car. Like, don't
They could be using a shuttle service. Yeah, put your stuff in the car, though.
If you're renting a car, don't bother. Like, I mean, there's no reason to go back to the...
You know, and if for that, you know, you might just have breakfast at the Contemporary and park it there, because that would save you... That could potentially save you 10 minutes in transportation.
I've waited...
By just walking over there.
I've waited twice in line for the Anna and Elsa thing now. It moves pretty fast with the Fast Pass line. It's the standby line that has the terrible, terrible waits.
My one time at Disney World with it, I waited 90 minutes in the Fast Pass line.
It wasn't that over holiday?
It was over holiday, yeah. But I think it'll probably be better now. Yeah, but yeah, that sums up. Let's put it this way. I've been in the Magic Kingdom 90 minutes before my flight left. And made it onto the flight. 90 minutes.
I wouldn't recommend that, but yes, it is possible.
I would not recommend. There was. I don't think there was 2 minutes to spare. And that involved some. Yeah, it involved some running. But yeah, that's the closest I've cut it. So if you've got 4 hours or 3 hours, you're fine.
All right, time for our last question of the day, and that means give Mr. Newell 3 emails to choose from. One gets read today. The other two back in the email queue to be answered later. Ready, Mike?
I have to go shovel, so I'll be right back.
Better right.
Your options are what to do with $40,000.
What?
What?
Wow. Are you all right? Okay.
Send to Len.
My best friends call me Cash. Should we skip Hollywood Studios?
Yes.
And All Stars.
Just go to the 40,000 already.
No, yeah, I don't think I'm going to top that one.
It's Disney Vacation Club.
All right, last email of the day is from Brian from, how do you say this, Len? Fuque Verena? Oh, he put a pronunciation guide. Fuque Verena. I got it right.
You got it right. Wow.
Yeah, North Carolina. All right.
He also put in quotes, or just outside Raleigh.
Outside Raleigh. That's awesome.
Let's comparison on what you could do for the cost of a new Polynesian bungalow. Got me thinking, what can you do? It could make a great show topic. By my calculation, A 2-week stay in a bungalow from December 20th, 2015 to January 2nd, 2016 is $40,710. I listed a few things that you could do with the same price. Take 50 friends on a 4-day Disney cruise. Take 100 of your friends on a 4-day Royal Caribbean cruise. Live at an all-star resort with free dining for about 9 months. Sounds like a retirement plan or torture. Live at the Waldorf Astoria for 5 months. Buy an Infiniti Q50. Is this insanity?
Dude, for 40 grand, I could take 20 of you to Europe for like 2 weeks.
And make it rain.
Yeah, I'm serious. It would be the best time you've ever had anywhere. You would come back speaking Italian, and we would only go to Germany, let me tell you right now. Yeah.
Man, 40 grand.
Could you? I couldn't imagine.
I mean, how much DVC does 40 grand buy you typically, Mike, on the resale market?
Oh, God. I don't even know. I know $2,000 will get you 25 points.
So, let's say you wanted to buy points, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you wanted to, like, rent points.
Oh, gosh. You could probably.
It's 2,857 points. 2,857 points. From DVCRentals.com.
Wow.
I mean, that's like it's like 6 months of studios. I don't know how many it is.
Well, 2,000. Well, you know, while we're talking about this particular topic, thanks for bringing it up. I was called out in the comments, actually, in WWE Today. pulling up the comments, I was called out. The person here, Cigar95, give credit. These bungalows of Polynesian will be at 99.9% capacity over the year, if not 100%. Every bit of it from guests who are willing to pay the price. That's all the justification, Matt's favorite word, that is needed for the point and price structure. The price of other rooms and other properties is irrelevant. If there are 20 bungalows, there's absolutely no need to price them where 1,000 guests a night are willing to pay for the price. Sounds like Matty might want to revisit his college microeconomics textbooks on the pricing of commodities. To which I replied that I understand that I understand that it's so expensive. I mean, it's supply and demand. Makes perfect sense. But I don't think it's a good idea. I mean, it's just – the fact that Disney is offering this is just – if I may, and forgive me, you'll probably have to take over because my throat is giving out here. In the official guide, don't you have a section on the pricing of Disney World these days and how, like, Disney World can't go that much higher, but they've, like – they can target a certain percentage of the top.
Yeah. We did this in the 2015 edition, and what we said was, you know, back in the day, the early to middle Eisner era, Disney was priced so that the median family income, the average family in the United States, could afford to go for a couple of days. But if you look at it now, it seems like they're targeting the top 20% of earning households in the United States, people whose income is around $100,000 a year and up, and they're doing that because if you look at the statistics, those families, the top 20% of earners in the United States, spend more on travel than the bottom 80% combined. So they don't really need to focus on getting as many people through the parks. They can focus on a slightly smaller but much wealthier clientele and still get the same amount of money out of them. So if they can do that, obviously if you need to attract fewer people and they spend the same amount of money, it means you need fewer employees, which makes your ticket prices, which makes your expenses go down, and it makes everything sort of easier to manage. So I think that's what they've been doing lately.
Right. And, you know, if you can afford 40 grand for a week, more power to you, dude. I mean, that's, I wish, can you adopt me? Cause I would love to be living with you. It's just the fact, but what bothers me is that I think
it's 2 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, I think most people that listen to this podcast, I think most people that go to Walt Disney World are, you know, of average means. I mean, we're not rich. We're not poor.
We're not advancing the world.
No. But it's
I don't know. One of us is hanging out with Abe Vigoda. I mean, that seems to be a fairly lucrative profession. I mean,
taken. All right. But I think, you know, if when you see things like this, this is Disney saying this isn't like something they put off in the corner. Like this isn't the Four Seasons they're building, right? The Four Seasons is literally in a corner of Disney World. You know, you go to Disney World 10 times and never see it, right? It's okay with me. I really don't care. This is smack dab in the middle of the Polynesian Resort. It is blocking the view of everything else that's over there. It is the focal point of the upgrade.
It's the visual reminder that you're not good enough. I mean, that's really what it is.
That's a great point.
And it's the, it's the principle that Disney is putting this kind of investment in something like this. And it's like, you know, all the other problems, we could spend hours coming up with issues that we find with ride maintenance and improvements that are needed and capacity issues elsewhere. But, you know, this is where they're putting their money. Because look, this is where they make money. I get that. And this is a business. We've said that many, many times. But as a consumer, as someone who consumes their product, it upsets me. I don't want to, you know, I don't like the direction this is going in. And frankly, I'm concerned that long term, I'm going to be priced out of Disney World. And that's terrible. I want my kids to be able to grow up and go to Disney World. I want to go there when I'm older. Maybe not Scopa's age, but, you know, somewhere in between. And it's just, you know, it's...
We should live so long.
It's not what I want to see. Anyway, on a more funner note, Brian has a ride mashup for us, Len.
Oh, cool.
Toy Story Midway Mania and Expedition Everest. That way you can shoot at a target that doesn't move.
That's awesome.
That's funny. It's time to laugh again. All right, very good. Well, don't forget, you can, of course, email us questions at WDWToday.com. And our sponsors, of course, are MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Boy, you heard all these questions, but great to get down to Disney World again. I mean, really, who wouldn't love a Disney World vacation? And MEI and Mouse Fan Travel is here to help you plan that vacation. You got to check them out. They really do a great job. They're your partner in the process, MouseFanTravel.com. Also sponsoring us on today's show is All Star Vacation Homes. And when my voice finally goes out, the place I want to go relax and get it back, it's going to be All Star Vacation Homes. I'll tell you, it is just, this is what I always tell people. When I go with Newell, he never wants to leave. I don't know if that's the best thing I can tell you about it, because that tells you it's more fun for him to be there and enjoy the amenities than going to Disney World. I mean, it's that kind of an experience. So they really do a great job. Amazing houses at a great price. Check them out right now, allstarvacationhomes.com. And, of course, touringplans.com is our other sponsor of the show. And, you know, it really makes a difference when you use Touring Plans. I mean, you get to see everything, do everything without waiting for everything. You got to check them out right now, touringplans.com. For, oh my God, my voice is really going. For Lentis, I'm myself, I'm Noel. I'm Matt Hatcher. See you on the next show.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.